corollaries in the Bible, which are very important to look at and read honestly. An honest reading of these things, almost like a meta reading, as in we're going to be reading not what the words say, but what they don't say. Lucky for us, there is a corollary between the Old Testament and the New Testament, almost very clearly, one to one. Let's look at these parables, see how they mirror one another, and ask ourselves some questions at the end. Again, both of these stories are conspicuous in what they don't say. And it's quite interesting. First thing we'll look at is the creation story, Genesis 1. The first 8 verses talks about God creating the heavens and the earth. In this creation story, we see that God separates the waters in heaven. I'm going to rewind a bit. The water was formless, and then God created a, different translations put this in English differently, a firmament, and separated waters above and the waters below. He called that firmament heaven. Really, I think we just need to think of it as a firmament. Or like a platform, a foundation, a thing that can separate waters from above and below. So then at the end of that verse, there's water above and there's water below. The next verse goes in to say the water below he made to collect together such that dry land would appear. And in that verse, we see the creation of what could be thought of as commonly thought of as the Earth's forms of having continents and oceanic waters. I think that's fine. And then the following verses go into what he places on those land masses and water puddles. Trees and fish and creatures and stuff. And then the rest of the Bible goes into what happens with those waters which were separated from the land masses. What nothing else in the Bible really covers is what the heck happened with the waters above the firmament. It is an extremely conspicuous non-statement. It is never covered anywhere in the Bible what happens to half of creation. The Bible only covers half of things. 100% of it, starting with that one verse, begins to speak about the half of the waters which are below the firmament. Nothing from above the firmament gets covered. And it is just a conspicuous omission that needs to be recognized. Even if you are a Bible scholar from beyond time, I don't even know how else to put it. If you are the best Bible scholar in the world, Moses himself, you will not have the answer to what occurred in those waters above the firmament. And that's just how it's phrased, right? Like, who knows really even what it is? We know it's not earth. Some Bible translations actually make it out to seem like the land masses that are available are the planet Earth, that the firmament is like where clouds and stuff are. And stars and stuff. Interpretation is interpretation. It is quite clear to me that whatever that water above the firmament is, it's non worldly. Let's just put it that way. So, what is this conspicuous thing that I'm bringing up right now is that here is a clear omission of half of creation. God didn't do anything, or at least it doesn't describe what God did with half of the creation. Right at the very, 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 very tip of the beginning of the Bible. Cuts off half of everything, and the Bible only covers, even within its own canon, half of everything. Great, so it was an omission, which is crucial to recognize there. Next thing we're going to look at is, oh, why? Why was it omitted? Because the writer of that particular part of the Old Testament, Moses descended from that landmass half of stuff. Water and landmass, that's where Moses was. That's what he cared about, and that was the story he was assigned to tell. Is why are we here where we are right now? The history of the above the firmament stuff did not matter to his story, and so he did not include it. Not yet, anyway. Let's go into the New Testament and how that story of a very clear omission is mirrored. And this omission in the New Testament has a lot to do with Jesus, obviously. Everything in the New Testament is third-party retellings and reactions of the man Jesus Christ. That is to say, people who were not the main character of those stories are the ones whose words we're reading. And they're just telling what they saw of Jesus. Here's the thing. Christ comes on earth. We get some words which are claimed to come from him. But the most, one of the most gifted individuals who ever could have graced the planet is on earth. He can't write a freaking letter? Is that what we're supposed to be led to believe on that one? And here is the omission. We don't get a direct teaching from this individual who came and was the main character of salvation, of that salvation story. Jesus showed up and saved everyone. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would be saved and have eternal life. But then the stories we get are just some dudes, more than half of whom, you know, I might have to do some math. Maybe it's just like half of whom, of the Bible writers, the people whose historical retellings, and some of them are just letters that people wrote to one another and to congregations, ended up in what we call the New Testament. Something, at least some of them, never even met the guy in person, in the flesh. So what's the omission here? Where the hell is Jesus' story about Jesus? Here's the thing. Maybe it exists. Because whatever the hell Christ is strong. Much stronger than the writers of the Bible. These individuals came through and reported what they saw, but they also very clearly didn't understand what Jesus understood, which is this: I am Christ. Salvation is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. and the various other unworldly teachings and demonstrations that this figure had. They did not have his perfection on their mind as they were giving the retellings of the story and their interpretations of what it means to be Christ-like. They were thinking other things than turn the other cheek, goes with your brother 77 times, things like that. It wasn't intuitive to them, some of the things that Christ knew. So it would be perfect if we had Christ's teaching. Anyway, the clear omission of the New Testament is a direct teaching from the teacher, the rabbi, or a first-person account would be another one. Another way to say that. Here's the thing, though. I don't think Jesus would write an autobiography. He might. And that's what those dudes did. They saw another human. They themselves saw themselves as human, not as Christ, but as human. And so they told the story of the human on the ground. I think Jesus would have an entire, Jesus Christ would have a different view of what he was, such that his writing, his first person, if you want to call it that, retelling would be of a different flavor than the years of his life, the scenes that he saw. Or at least if he incorporated that, it would be a... I'm blowharding right now. Here's the thing. There was an omission. I hope that is being clear. That has been given clearly. The omission in the Old Testament, the entire Bible only ever covers half of the creation story. Like, it didn't even have to mention... It didn't even have to mention that there was a firmament between the waters above and the waters below, but it did. And I think that's important because the Bible shows within its own omissionness that it's not the full story. It is a perfect story, but it's not the full story. And the omission that mirrors the obviousness is the New Testament's about this guy, Jesus Christ. And we don't have his version of events. We have other people's versions of that events. And those other people, in their retelling, usually indicate that they don't believe themselves to be Christ. They are very honest about that. So, what did Jesus know? Obviously, we can go find him and ask him if you are saved by Jesus Christ. And I recommend that you do. This was just two instances that the Bible had a real demonstrative way demonstrates that it's where it's lacking, if that makes sense. You have to see that it's not saying something. And it happens twice. And that, I think they did it absolutely on purpose. And I can go more into that. Because obviously, it's inspired. So it's done on purpose, but it's done so that the reader will recognize you need to go a little deeper. And I alluded to this. If you can catch that salvation, that whiff of salvation that Jesus is spreading, you can go find those omissions. Go find what was omitted in those omissions. There's no real limitation of the Bible because the Bible points you exactly where you need to go to get the rest of the information. Great. So some critical thinking with the Bible. Some discernment. Y'all have fun.